Welcome back to The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. See, that's why I call people who listen to the podcast New Talkers, because I call the podcasts The New Talk, right? So in podcast 624, we're going to talk about travel and adventure and some road trip ideas for summer, because we're starting to look ahead to summer. The weather's getting great. We're starting to look ahead to summer. And so I thought it'd be a good idea to just talk about travel a little bit, because it's fun to talk about travel. So in this podcast, I'm going to be talking a lot about taking road trips. And I take road trips in my beautiful 2000 Ford Super Duty ambulance diesel that came from ex-government cars, because ex-government cars is Minnesota's only dealer specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. I've had three Crown Vics and, of course, Mobile Podcast Command from ex-government cars. The bottom line is they can take care of you. If you need a car, if you need a loan, if you have a job, you can get approved. And of course, ex-government cars takes trades. They take trades and they'll pay the highest values, and they do it all the time. I've seen Ed Johnson at ex-government cars do it. Don't forget the 3-day love it guarantee exclusively at ex-government cars. So here's what you do. First of all, go online, exgovernmentcars.com, check out the selection, or get your butt down to exgovernmentcars.com and see what they've got, because they now have a line on DHS and Border Patrol Yukons and Expeditions. So if you're looking for an SUV, you really can get a good deal, because relatively low mileage. And of course, if you've got something you're looking for, talk to Ed. Maybe he can find you what you're looking for if you want to get a lower mileage Expedition or Yukon. ExGovernmentCars.com, now open in Golden Valley, Minnesota, at 2420 Nevada Avenue North, right between 100 and 169. So they're easy to get to. You can call them old school at 763-777-8782.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
Well, I'm going to talk about travel in this podcast, and I'm going to start by, and I don't think this is controversial to say this because I think it's true, some people do not travel well, and it isn't a value judgment, although it is. It's not meant to put people down who don't travel well, but it's just a warning, because you don't want to travel with people who don't travel well, because they will ruin the trip, and here's why. First of all, it's a learned skill. If you have somebody who's very excitable, or someone who finds lack in every situation, somebody who's picky about food, or somebody who likes to pack the schedule with places to go and things to see, essentially over-planning the trip, you're going to find any kind of road tripping and camping, whether you're in a tent or in a camper or anything else, very difficult. And I would imagine if you're a camper, then you know this already. So you're dealing with people who kind of go with the flow, because you just have to. And that's the way I do it. I believe in going with the flow when you travel. And it's funny, because I was just talking to my son, and we've taken quite a few road trips together as father and son, although he does his own road trips. He doesn't really want to go with me. I keep trying to get him to go with me on these crazy road trips in Mobile Podcast Command, but he doesn't really want to. But we were talking about the whole United Airlines thing and people flying, and I used to fly a lot, and I will not fly now. And it isn't because I'm afraid to fly. It's just, let me put it to you this way. If you were to go on a road trip and you were in a traffic jam, like the worst traffic jam that you've ever seen the entire road trip, you would be wanting to kill someone, right? That's what flying is like. You're in a traffic jam the entire time, from the moment that you set out for the airport to the moment that you arrive at your destination, which you may or may not arrive at, depending on if you get kicked off the plane or if there's, you know, weather delays, which seem to happen all the time. You end up spending a day or two in the airport. So you have to have a travel day booked, and sometimes you have to have an extra travel day. I love the idea of just getting in, packing the truck, getting in, starting up, pulling out, and heading out on the freeway or the highway on the road trip. And I love road trips. When I do a road trip, it's not hundreds of miles, like a couple of hundred or 300 miles. They are month-long mega trips. And I don't like to stop. I like to have an objective at the end of the road. So that's why I go to festivals like Sturgis or the air show, stuff like that, because there's an objective. And if there's an objective at the end of the road, then it's all about getting there. And then it's all about coming back from this experience. And then we're going to detour on the way back, not necessarily on the way to, although I have taken detours on the way to certain events. I certainly took detours on the way to the air show last summer, things like that. So I like to have an objective. Some people just like to meander, and there's nothing wrong with meandering. I did some research for this podcast because I'm looking for links to post, you know, in the blog there on the page. And there's a lot of travel blogs and things where they seem to be pushing these short road trips. And I guess it's because if you only have a week off at a time, you know, you can't go on mega trips. But I don't particularly like small road trips, except, you know, small road trips of 300 or 400 miles, like a weekend, see this and see that, have actually, they, you know, I have taken some short road trips, and some of those are really great, and I'll talk a little bit about some of those in this podcast, and I should take more of them. I don't do the kind of travel log where I tell you the exact route or give you, you know, hey, there's a great restaurant to stop at. I mean, if I'm going to be doing a travel podcast when I'm out, you'll know if I'm at some restaurant, I've started to realize to put the name on there and let people know that this is a cool place to stop if you find a cool place, whatever. But most of the time, I'm on my way to some event and I'm focused on getting to that event. And so the trip is getting to the event. So I recommend the mega trips where you take a month off and you get lost because you forget that you're traveling. It's kind of like sailing. You just kind of forget that you're out on the road and that you're like, well, I think I'm going to go to New Mexico. And you just go there. Even though you're in Iowa, you're like, I think I'm going to go to Mexico, you know, New Mexico, or I'm going to go to Arizona. Yeah, what the hell? Let's go. That to me is the best because there's no reason to, you've got a ton of time. And if you can't, I mean, I'm taking everything with me on my back. So it's not like I'm not going to be able to do podcasts when I'm on the road. But if you have a job, it becomes an issue. And you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm working on figuring out how to untether because as I said, when I came back from, I forget what it was last year, and I came back, and on the way back, I was like, why am I coming home? I'm coming home in the rain. I'm driving through Iowa in the middle of the night, following this truck because I couldn't see 5 feet in front of me in the fog and the rain. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I coming home? And it was to pay the rent and pick up the mail. That was the reason I was coming. There were checks in the mail, so that was the reason to come home. And I thought, well, this is just dumb. So I'm working on the whole untethering, and I'm going to a lot of RV shows and all those things. But when you travel on the road, when you drive, and I'll tell you, if it's a short trip, if you're going to Detroit, you may as well just drive, because by the time you get on the plane, go through all the nonsense, you're going to be calmer and more relaxed if you drive, as long as you're not one of those people that has problems with everything. I mean, if you're one of these people that doesn't want croutons on the salad or doesn't like the omelet at Denny's, or I'm going to complain about this, that, or the other thing, you're going to have a really bad time. Because you're going to eat some bad food, you are going to get lost, you are going to be delayed, you're going to have cell phone connection problems, you're going to have data connection problems. If you're staying in hotels, you know, the Wi-Fi is going to work sometimes, and sometimes it isn't going to work. If you're in campgrounds, you know, there's all kinds of issues like that. And if you're the kind of person that gets upset about that kind of stuff, you're going to have a lot of problems. I remember one trip I took to the I was on the Eastern Shore, if you'll recall that trip. I had gone to Washington, D.C. And this is the other problem with not having really an objective. And I end up on the Delmarva Peninsula, which the Virginia side is amazing. I'll mention that later. But I did not have I didn't have a hotspot at the time, and I didn't have a very good phone connection, and I couldn't get Wi-Fi, and it got to the point where I was ready to tear my hair out. That was a terrible trip, and the thing I learned on that trip was, you know, you need to research a little bit about where you're going and what the situation is before you end up meandering through there. So I don't necessarily do what I used to. I've learned that you have to have an objective. There has to be a reason for the trip. You have to have a plan, and then you have to follow through on the plan. And if the thing is, you got to be easy so that if something falls through or if you don't end up doing something, it's not, you know, one of these situations where you're super upset, because not everybody can take a month and a half off and just drive around. If you have a week off, basically a Friday to weekend to get there and a Friday to weekend to get back. And if you have kids and things like that, it has to be a short trip. I always tell the story of how we used to go to Florida as a family every year for Christmas. And it was cold in Chicago. And my dad would be out there in the driveway at 4:30 in the morning, usually on a Saturday morning, I guess, warming up the 63 Biscayne wagon. And I had the way back, and my sister had the middle seat, and we would go on these trips, and the whole thing was, when is it going to get warm? And you would just wait for it to get warm, and, you know, we'd stay in foggy, rainy Memphis or Nashville. We would go to Rock City, you know, places like that. And my dad liked to stay at Travelall, so I can still remember that musty sort of weird Travelall smell, that Holiday Inns didn't smell like that. And the Howard Johnsons didn't smell like that, but the Travelalls did. And I don't even know what Travelalls are now. I don't even know if anybody remembers those, but he loved to stay at Travelalls because they were cheap, super clean, nice hotels, and we always wanted to stay at the Holiday Inn because the Holiday Inns had color TV and stuff like that. But the big thing on those trips was waiting for the air to feel warm on the windows, and you'd fall asleep on the second or third day, and then we'd get to Jacksonville, or we'd get to the border, and you'd see... I remember waking up at one point and seeing these orange groves that seemed to go on forever in the golden sun of Florida, and that was just the first leg of the Florida part. We stayed with friends in Jacksonville, and... I remember, I think the guy's name was Ray, so we called him Uncle Ray, and he was a kind of a man's man type guy, and he was a mechanic and a wrecker guy, and he had a wrecker that he built himself. He built dune buggies. That's what he did. And my dad thought he was the coolest guy because he had this wrecker with an electric seat, and he would crush the beer cans because Doris, who was my mom's friend, didn't want Ray to drink. So I think his name was Ray. And if my mom's listening, she's going to go, "His name wasn't Ray, for God's sake. It was Charlie," or whatever. But I guess, I don't know, it was Ray or something like that. But we would stay, you know, they would go out to the garage and drink beer. And then we went to the Demolition Derby. "Hey, Bob, you want to go to the Demolition Derby? And we're going to be in the middle of the, because we're going to be the wrecker for the Demolition Derby." So we went to the Demolition Derby, had the greatest time with that. And that was really fun. But the family did a lot of other road trips through the years. We went through Iowa a bunch of times, Central Ohio, Indiana, Southern Illinois, Galena, Illinois was a day trip. And of course, my mom always had to stop at every antique store along the way. And my dad called them antiques, and that irritated her. And I remember Stuckey's, the icons of the 60s and the 70s that had the orange roofs, and they're long gone now. Although on one of my recent trips, you know, there's a few Stuckey's buildings left out west. There's something about just being on the road. And we did a lot of interstate trips. We did get off onto the two-lane roads every now and then because at that time the interstates weren't all finished, so you did end up on these bizarre detours. So I don't know what it is about road trips. I think loving it depends on whether your family took a lot of road trips when you were a kid, especially if you're a long road trip kind of guy like I am. My friend Steve's dad used to take them all over the country, and they would actually camp out, which we never did because my dad hated camping. Steve later went on tour with a big heavy metal band for years, and I'm actually convinced that they loved him because I'm sure his information was invaluable because he'd already been all over the country a bunch of times in tents, you know, tent camping in a 1960 Ford wagon. And then my friend Ken tells about how his parents put the crib in the way back of the Mercury and took them all over the country. Same thing. They camped. It's amazing what you can do as a family if you really, really want to. Now, mercifully, in this podcast, we're not going to be talking too much, in fact, not at all, about politics or about economics or anything else. We are going to be talking about the broad reaches and vistas of America, the United States. And when we talk about the United States, it reminds me that you have a lot of talk these days about bringing manufacturing back to the United States. And if you've listened to my travel podcast, you know that I'm fascinated with places like Cleveland and Detroit and the manufacturing centers of the United States, whether it's on the West Coast or in the Midwest. The thing is, they are talking about bringing manufacturing back to the United States, and some companies are preparing to deal with potential legislation that would force them to bring manufacturing back to the United States, or because there are good reasons to manufacture in the United States. So if your company is thinking about bringing some of its manufacturing back to the U.S., remember DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. You can visit their website by clicking on their banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com or visiting DepoStar.com, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar.com. Well, I'm starting to hear motorcycles, and I'm hearing them all over the place, and I'm hearing them at all times of the day and night, and I love that sound in the distance. It always makes me want to travel, makes me want to go somewhere. Of course, this summer, I will be going to Sturgis, and I may go to Laconia as well, another big motorcycle festival, kind of a get-together, a big bike rally. I love them. I love the people. It's really fun, and it gives me a chance to talk about Ciro 3D. Let's talk about lighting options. So Ciro 3D makes amazing lighting options for motorcycles. I've talked about the front lights and the cowling lighting so that you can see around the bike, the shock and awe lighting systems. But in particular, if you ride with your wife or your girlfriend, meaning if you're married or if you're not married and you have a girlfriend, a lot of times the women want to make sure that the back of the bike is visible when you stop or when you signal, and they have great lighting options for that. LED lighting options. If you click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, you'll see them. Actually, you'll see those lighting options in the banner. And Ciro 3D makes great motorcycle products and accessories, phone holders, device holders, drink holders that really, really work, all kinds of lighting options and solutions. Ride safe and check out Ciro3D.com, Ciro3D.com. So you have to be zen about travel. That's how you get to the good stuff. And that means you just kind of got to have to go with the flow when it comes to traveling. And I don't talk a lot about the Midwest or the East anymore because I've been through those parts of the country so many times. I almost know it like the back of my hand, especially the mid part of the Midwest, Missouri, Iowa, southern Minnesota, and so forth. I have not actually been, we never went to New England. And I think it was because we were going to Iowa all the time. But I'm saving that one. I'll let you know. New England's going to be a great trip. My favorite right now are the Western trips, although I've had some great trips down through the South. But there's something about heading west, something about heading toward the Pacific that just makes my blood race. And I will break my trips down a little bit, some of them covering the 2016 primary races into parts. But here's the thing. And this is why you have to be all zen with travel, because when you meander, as long as there is an objective at the end of the day, as I said, the magic happens. So if you're going to Sturgis, you know you're eventually going to get to Sturgis. And so you can stop along the way or you can go other places because there's a final objective in mind. And I think that's really important as far as we're going to go. I like to have a big objective, you know, some kind of festival. That's why I was so excited about Burning Man, because that's a big objective to get to. And you're very excited to get there and experience it. So there are amazing places everywhere. If you're just going by car, you can find these places to stay almost anywhere. So you don't have to have a camper unless you want one. And by the way, I'm really investigating the overland thing, and there are some really awesome, really cool camping systems. If you're really young, if you're a millennial, you don't have to get the big camper that grandma and grandpa have unless you can borrow it. You can get some really amazing systems for being able to camp on the road that are really flexible and can fit in the back of a Subaru if that's what you have. But if you have some kind of camper, and in my case, Mobile Podcast Command, which now I'm thinking about redoing as a, you know, an RV, you know, it's great because when you run out of steam, you can just hit a Walmart parking lot or truck stop and just chill out. And I love the truck stops. One of my favorite things to do is to chill out at the truck stop or the Walmart parking lot. The Walmart parking lot thing is really weird because they darken portions of the parking lot, and you pull in at night and you pull into this dark and you try to find a corner. But if you get there too late, you know, all the fishermen Charlies have the corner because there's lakes around all these rural areas and the locals pull their campers up. But if you can find a dark corner and then you chill out, you know, you wake up the next day and the parking lot's full, and you kind of peek out and there's people going shopping and stuff. But I like the Walmart because you can use the bathrooms when you get up, and you also can find what you need as soon as you get up. So I always buy something at the Walmart to make them feel better about letting us losers park in their parking lot, right? So you don't have to go barnstorming across the country unless that's what you like to do. And I do. I like to cover a lot of ground. I like to go from one end of Missouri to the other in one day because that makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something. But I actually had to teach myself to stop and smell the roses. So then what you want to put in are smaller objectives. And people who've been traveling a lot know this. And I guess some people, it's just intuitive. But I don't want to put a lot of smaller. I would like to stop maybe once during the day. So where are we going to have lunch? You know, what's the objective for lunch? But you got to remember not to get upset if you don't reach that objective. So why not stop, especially if you see something that's cool that you want to see? Like when you go through Nebraska, the first thing you're going to see is that big overpass, which is like a museum that I haven't been to yet that I want to go. Then they have the first sod house that I actually did stop at, and it's left over, and it's one of the only sod places. And if you listen to those podcasts, you'll hear it. So there's some cool places that you can stop at that are great. And some of the places that I've been to that I really liked that were just stops that kind of surprised me. Tombstone was kitschy, but I love Tombstone, Arizona. But I really like Bisbee, which is an old mining town. I liked Las Cruces. I liked White Sands. I liked Roswell a lot. I liked the Florida Keys and all up through the west coast of Florida into Alabama and the Mississippi coast along the Gulf there. Mobile, Biloxi, Port Arthur, and Galveston are old and kind of wrecked, but Galveston's great, but Port Arthur is still, it's just, you just have to see it. And if you're going to go to the Florida Keys, I would just say that people should go in the summer. I would recommend the Florida Keys for a summer trip. First of all, it's hot as blazes, and it's great. And if you're a Minnesotan, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be cold. I don't want to go someplace where it's cold in the summer. I feel shortchanged. I want to go someplace where it's hot as blazes, and the Keys are hot as blazes, but it's deserted because it's kind of like northern Minnesota in the winter, right? So you go down there, and if you go down to the Keys in season, so December, November, whatever, you're not going to find a place. It's awful. You can't find a place to stay. All the places are booked. You know, you have to make plans. The campgrounds, I like going down there in the summer because nobody's down there. It's just regular people and it's hot as hell. Just too crowded in season. But for this podcast, I want to talk just in the last 10 minutes or so about back roads. Because for me, back roads are where it's at. They are deserted most of the time. And they are magic because you go through the town. So if you see a place you want to stop, you can stop and you can find a place to park easy. And if you see some weird little town like Butte, Montana, which is not really little, but I went to Butte. I thought Butte, Montana was great. You know, you can stop because you're not on the interstate where you're just going to go by and go, I'm not stopping because I got to get to Denver, right? There's bunches of cool places in Wisconsin and Minnesota in terms of roads. Northern Minnesota on Route 2 all the way east across Wisconsin to Escanaba and on into the Upper Peninsula all the way down 22. You go through this just empty forest. A lot of people from the northern part of the United States will know it because they've been through it. You go to Mackinac City across that bridge and then the coast of Lake Huron. So it's the east coast of Michigan is really great. I was there in the fall. I would like to take that one in the summer when it's hot because it was too cold and it was like, I don't know, September, I think. So that would be the West Coast then. So if you go all the way over to the West Coast, that's the Lake Michigan shore. So when you come across the Upper Peninsula, you're going to come to the top of Lake Michigan. And instead of going across, you go down 31 south through Traverse City, Muskegon, down to Benton Harbor, which is right by Chicago. So that's a really cool trip. And then there's central Minnesota, you know, as far as a rural place, I always make the pitch for that because there's some really cool places, Luverne, New Ulm, you know, all kinds of interesting small towns. And then there's some interesting agriculture in Minnesota on an industrial scale, which I've talked about in one of my podcasts. And in the summer, there's always some great storms, too, that are kind of fun to see. So, you know, the rural parts of the country are great, and some of these towns are really great if you want to stop. My favorite northern route, you know, to the coast, meaning the Pacific coast, is, again, on Route 2. If you go west across North Dakota, it's desolate. So I would imagine in summer or late fall or early fall, it's stunning. I think the colors up there start to change in early September, late August, early September, maybe mid-September. It's a really beautiful, and I did go across there in late September. There's a part where you go across Montana where it's probably the most deserted stretch of road, aside from White Sands at night, in the whole United States. It's amazing. You'll be out there and there are no cars. You're the only car on the road. And then you take that all the way across Montana, and you see Williston and Glasgow, and I think it's called Havre, H-A-V-R-E. I have no idea how to pronounce it, but it's that's just like a train stop, and it's kind of an industrial town. There's really, but it's a cool place. And Shelby, Montana, and you will be in the middle of nowhere. And then if you stay on that sort of westward route, you have to figure out how to get through Washington and to the coast. But you'll go through Colville, Washington, and you go through the national forests, and it's stunning, really stunning. And I feel bad because I went through there in the fall, and it was raining. And I really want to go back through there in the high point of summer. And of course, you guys know that my favorite highway in all the world, and I recommend it every time I talk about travel, is the Pacific Coast Highway. So there's 101, and if you get on 101 all the way up in the state of Washington, there's all kinds of coastal highways that you can take. And some of those, people always hear about the California coastline, which is stunning. So you get around north of San Francisco, up in that area, that part of north of San Francisco is really stunning. But when you're in Washington and Oregon, I think Oregon's coastline is even more stunning than California. It's really beautiful, 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 beautiful. And I recommend that every time. And the next time I go to California, though, I'm not going to go the northern route. I'm going to go cut down to LA, and then I'm going on the PCH south to San Diego because they say that those are the best beaches because it's desert. So I want to do that. And I would actually, you know, the Nomad Yoga family went on down to New Mexico, and I kind of want to follow that trip. But because he told me, if you heard that podcast, he told me, you know, you people tell you all kinds of things. Don't go to Mexico. You're going to be killed by the cartels and blah, 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 blah. I certainly don't think I would go down to Mexico through, whatever it is, Bisbee, which is really close to the border, because that I don't know if I would go to Mexico there. But I think, you know, I kind of would think going down through the Baja probably isn't that bad. And they said that the beaches were just stunning. And of course, I love the Midwest, Missouri and Nebraska and Highway 61 all the way down through Arkansas. All the travel guides mentioned the Ozarks, and I heard if you go to the Ozarks, so you can get to the Ozarks pretty fast if you go down 35 and then cut over, if you live in Minnesota and you want to get down there, if you're from Chicago or if you're from Indiana, getting there isn't that hard, and then you can rent, I'm sure there's state parks there, but you can also rent one of those houseboats. So I understand people do that all the time from St. Louis. So it's kind of a hillbilly thing to do. But Arkansas is really cool. There's some cool places in Arkansas and some cool places in Missouri. And of course, for me, that's Bonnie and Clyde territory. So one of these days, I don't know when, I'm going to do the Bonnie and Clyde triangle because they operated on this triangle from Missouri south to Texas, over to Louisiana, and back up through Texas and up into Missouri and that area, Oklahoma. So I want to do the Bonnie and Clyde triangle on the original, what was it? The original federal highway system, and Bonnie died with one of those maps on her lap. So I definitely want to do that. And I definitely want to spend more time going through Colorado. I've driven the Crown Vic through Colorado. I don't remember taking the ambulance through Colorado because the last time I went through, you know, I don't want to take a risk on those high elevations in the winter. So I've stayed away from Colorado. But Colorado is just truly stunning in terms of its beauty, and of course, Nevada. And the problem with Nevada is if you want to go out during the winter, you're going to have to go over mountains. And, you know, I don't know if I want to do that in my vehicle. So I have to think about that. And then, you know, if you are going to California, you know, the Donner Pass is really amazing all through there, those small towns. And then you come west through there, through the desert. And it's really something. It's something to see for sure. The desert to me is just amazing. And, you know, the thing that's amazing to me, just thinking about it, so you have this whole California-Nevada thing, and then you got northern Arizona, like, which is like Colorado. You've got all these amazing Payson and, you know, all these amazing places in northern Arizona all the way down, and then you come down through northern Arizona down into the desert, and I discovered a whole new part of Arizona when I went just this last trip, you know, southern Arizona, like I said, Bisbee and that part, but then there's a whole western part of southern Arizona. So every one of these states in the United States is just really gigantic, and it doesn't matter if you're on the Delmar Peninsula in Virginia or Maryland's Eastern Shore, the Jersey Shore, which is amazing. Then you have the mountains of Virginia and West Virginia. Like Skyline Drive is a recommended trip, and I've been on Skyline Drive, highly recommend it. You can only go 30 miles an hour, but it's great. You know, all these places make you think as much as, you know, anything else as you drive through, and it triggers things. You pass places that you want to visit, whether it's Jefferson Davis's house that I saw on the beach, I think it was in Mississippi. But then there's all these monuments, too, that you can go to. White Sands blew me away. It's just blew me away. Or towns along the Gulf Coast that were destroyed by hurricanes and completely rebuilt, and then they have monuments to all the people that died. Galveston, as I mentioned twice, is great. I mentioned Butte, Montana. Great Falls, I love. I talk to people from Montana, and they go, Great Falls. What's the big deal with Great Falls? I don't know. That's Wyoming, isn't it? I don't know. So I forgot Wyoming and Utah, and these places are just stunning. So all through this, what drives me are these wide, long stretches of open road where there is nothing, and I get my mind rolling, and I do my strategic planning when I'm doing that. And a lot of times my trips are really about business and strategic planning and just talking out with myself and thinking out with myself what I'm trying to do and what I'm doing. You know, I went out to Sturgis with my brother-in-law, and we just had great conversations all the way out about business and things he was doing in his business and the things that I was doing in my business, because the road is just rolling by. Why would you fly when you can have those kinds of experiences, you know? Of course, you can't drive to Hawaii, right? So there's a lot of nothing in America. That's the other thing I want to point out, because all we ever hear about in the media is how, you know, cities this and cities that and all these things that are going on. It's amazing to me still, you know, if you drive through the state of New York, you will be shocked to find out that New York State is pretty much empty. You know, New Jersey is pretty, but these are big agricultural states. There's nothing out there except farms. Michigan is a huge agricultural state. And we think of Michigan as really urban because of Detroit or New York City or, the whole Jersey thing, which is really a city. But there's a whole part of New Jersey, which is the Garden State Parkway, going all the way down to Cape May. That is beautiful. And you got your choice of any kind of place that you want to go to, from Cape May to Atlantic City to, you know, on the way up to New York City. It's an amazing experience, the Jersey Shore, and also the Maryland, you know, the Maryland coastline, Virginia Beach, all those places. And then, you know, the upper Midwest, northern Minnesota, northern Michigan, that I kind of neglect because I always want to go someplace where it's warm, but those are beautiful places, and they're absolutely desolate for the most part. And so I have tons of stories about this, and anybody who travels a lot has different stories. It's non-aligned, it's nonpartisan, travel will change you, it's an adventure, and you know, when you talk to people and you say, hey, I went to so-and-so, there's no rancor when they go, hey, we went there. Did you go see that thing? Or did you do the steakhouse where if you eat the 70-ounce steak, you get it for free? Yeah, that place was terrible, you know, or they had a good time there. It's a great way to share your experiences with people who may be from a different walk of life or older. So if you're young, if you're a 20, 30-year-old person and you go out and you run into some old people, you start talking to them and they tell you things about camping or they tell you things about state parks. There's millions of state parks. I mean, obviously not millions, but the state parks are amazing. The Park Service parks are truly amazing, and you can just pull in and, you know, a lot of times if you reserve a space, my friends in Arizona have a trailer now and, you know, they're doing that. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the old country store at Big Sur or places like Garberville, California, or Lincoln City, Oregon, or places in the Upper Peninsula. Travel is the best thing, I think. And after doing this podcast, I just want to go over to the garage, start the truck up, pack it up, and go. So I think what I'm going to do for this podcast is I've talked about some of the places I've gone, and I'm going to throw links up in the blog to my own website. I don't usually do that. I'll put some outbound links in there with some of these suggested travel logs, and you can go to them or not, depending on what you're interested in. But I'll put links up to some of the podcasts I've done that are exclusively travel podcasts, because it might be kind of fun to listen to them now that I've talked about some of those trips, right? And don't forget xgovernmentcars.com, Minnesota's only dealer specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks and SUVs, Yukons and Expeditions, which are awesome for road trips. Check them out online at xgovernmentcars.com. Cars.com or visit them at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley.
xgovernmentcars.com.
All right, you guys, thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Subscribing on iTunes or subscribing off the page, listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on blogtalkradio.com, TuneIn, or Stitcher.com if you have an Android device. I also honestly recommend, if you have an Android device, downloading the iTunes app and subscribing to podcasts on iTunes. I've heard some very interesting stories about things that happen with Stitcher. I always will continue to syndicate through these services, but iTunes is still the best. And thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and for your donations for diesel fuel for mobile podcast command. You're going to be hearing a lot because I am getting ready to do something. I'm going to go out. I'm not going to say where yet because I want it to be a surprise, but you can make donations for the next trip at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the little oval donate button, or look for that banner that has a picture of Mobile Podcast Command in White Sands. It looks like a snowstorm in Minnesota, but it's actually White Sands. Click on that. It takes you to the donate page at PayPal. Thank you very much for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 624. Happy trails.
Sometimes I feel the fear of uncertainty stinging clean.